Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
The U.S. military is one of the sober voices in the government warning about impending oil shortages and their potential impact on national security. Paradoxically, one of the most effective responses is probably to redeploy a big chunk of the military budget to civilian sector projects like public transportation, building insulation, and wind turbines. Earlier this year, the Joint Operating Environment Report from the U.S. Joint Forces Command outlined the threat as they saw it. Quote, "By 2012, surplus oil production capacity could entirely disappear, and as early as 2015, the shortfall in output could reach nearly 10 million barrels per day." Unquote. The effects of the oil shortfall could be an end to economic growth worldwide, they say. Economic stagnation could heighten existing tensions and, quote, "push fragile and failing states further down the path towards collapse," unquote. That's the U.S. military's prognosis. We already have good indication that it's far too late to adapt smoothly to oil shortfalls. Already in 2005, the authors of the Department of Energy's Hirsch report had calculated that it would take 20 years for a man-on-the-moon-style crash program of energy retooling to transition us, smoothly, away from our addiction to oil. Even if it's too late for smooth adaptation, we can still start a crash program now. Build out tracks and train cars for passenger rail and rail freight. Shift agricultural subsidies from millionaire owners of farmland in the Midwest to small, local farmers who can feed their neighbors without hauling food thousands of miles. Construct large wind farms, insulate homes and businesses, and make wood the primary heating system, or at least a backup, in buildings. Any progress we make before oil shortages really pinch us is beneficial. Where will we get the resources to pay for such a crash program? Well, that lands us in the middle of a huge debate right now. Some are pointing to the mounting U.S. deficits and saying that it's unsustainable to keep spending like we are right now. We're asking our children to repay back-breaking sums to finance current activities. Others, like economist Paul Krugman, point out that the government bond rates are extremely low. That shows that the market is confident the bonds will be repaid. They also say that without further stimulus, unemployment will stay high or increase. With long-term unemployment twice as high as at any other time since the Great Depression, it's time to borrow and spend. My take is that probably both sides are correct. Joblessness will stay high without further federal stimulus, and our spending path is unsustainable. That's why redeploying spending from the military to the civilian economy is so attractive. Government spending in the civilian sector creates more jobs per dollar than military spending. A given sum can employ more people weatherizing homes or driving buses than by building nuclear submarines or staffing one of the over 700 military bases overseas. This spending redeployment would be parallel to what Franklin Roosevelt did in 1942. Then, the greatest immediate threat facing the U.S. was the military machines of Nazi Germany, Fascist Italy, and Imperial Japan. Roosevelt turned civilian production to military purposes, shutting down automobile assembly lines to make airplanes, for example. Now, the greatest immediate threat facing us is impending fuel shortages. Obama should redeploy big chunks of the military to efficiency and renewable energy. Republicans have joined Democrats in supporting cuts to wasteful Pentagon spending. For example, Republican Representative Tom Coburn of Oklahoma recently proposed a freeze on the Pentagon's base budget, separate from its budget for wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, until the Pentagon can tell taxpayers what it's doing and what it plans to do with tax dollars. For 30 years, he says, the Pentagon hasn't been able to account for the money it's spent, or even, incredibly enough, to say whether it's spent the money. Coburn points out that U.S. military spending almost matches what the entire rest of the world spends, and that, quote, "total Pentagon spending is higher today, in inflation-adjusted dollars, than at any time during the last 60 years, unquote. Let's start closing down some of our over 700 overseas military bases. Bring the soldiers home, arm them with caulk guns, and set them to work making the country safe for cold weather. even in the face of an oil cutoff. I'm Carl Ettmeyer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.